Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. WSU professor complains university damaged his academic career with press statements about wolves last year. Moscow Council delays decision on allocating the remaining $1.9 million in the Hamilton Fund for playgrounds around the city. Former Washington Governor Mike Lowry dies. And Moscow Urban Renewal Agency head Bill Belknap discusses a new urban renewal district proposal for an area south of Moscow. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Portland police arrested 25 people downtown yesterday after declaring a May Day march a riot 2 hours after it began. TV station KATU reported Black Bloc protesters set fire to a pile of wooden pallets and threw newspaper vending machines and traffic control devices on top. The station said protesters threw full cans of Pepsi and rocks at police in riot gear who approached them. There were also 8 arrests at May Day protests in Olympia. Police there reported Black Bloc protesters threw rocks at them and smashed windows. In Seattle, where police prepared for the worst after several years of violent clashes on May Days, there was little antagonism. Pro-Trump supporters debated the president's first 100 days with anti-Trump protesters at Westlake Plaza downtown, and crowds gathered at a pop-up block party near the King County Juvenile Detention Center. The block party was to protest plans for an expensive new youth jail in Seattle's Central District. The Seattle Times quoted 31-year-old rap artist Bipolar, who told the crowd, "We're not for prisons at all. We need to invest that money into our communities. I'm saying there are other avenues. Prisons aren't the answer." Inaction seen far and wide on many media outlets, pro- and anti-Trump protesters shared a peace joint together at Westlake Plaza. Former Washington Governor Mike Lowry died yesterday from complications of a stroke. Lowry was 78 years old. The Democrat Lowry served one term as governor after winning the 1992 governor's race. He declined to run for re-election in 1996 after his press secretary, Suzanne Albright, accused him of sexual harassment and using crude language. Lowry denied wrongdoing but paid a $97,000 out-of-court settlement. Earlier in his career, Lowry served 5 terms in Congress, representing the 7th District in Seattle starting in 1979. Lowry consistently supported abortion rights and opposed Cold War nuclear arms buildups. While governor, he pushed the state to develop new health care programs that made Washington a leader in state-administered health care nationwide. The Moscow City Council last night decided to delay appropriating the remaining $1.9 million in the Hamilton Fund for playgrounds at various parks throughout the city. The Hamilton Fund was bequeathed to the city with the condition the money be used for youth recreation. Moscow Parks and Recreation Director Dwight Curtis described the proposal at last night's city council meeting.
We're looking at primarily the undeveloped properties at the moment. This could also include future replacement playgrounds with the existing parks. But once you have, or our determination is that once you have turf and irrigation and you put in a playground and a pathway to get to it, now you have a functional park. And as you recall from back when we came to you with our conceptual designs for our parks, they're very expensive, and we're under no illusions that to have the money to build all those at once completely just isn't going to happen. So we plan to phase these as best that we can. So by following our plan, get the playgrounds on there in the grass, now we've got functional parks, and we'll follow up with the amenities, the other amenities, as time and budgets allow. This is in line with our existing Parks and Recreation Master Plan. as part of our attempt to save money and also to control quality and timing, we are going to attempt to do these in-house. We sent some staff over to be certified as installers, and we feel very confident that we will be able to do a good job and save the city some money and get these things going. This also falls within the quarter mile walkability plan that we have within the master plan. The project's in line with the Hamilton requirements. It is for children. Aren't many things that you could argue about with playgrounds and not being for children.
That was Moscow Parks and Recreation Director Dwight Curtis speaking at last night's Moscow City Council meeting. Also at last night's meeting, the council voted to send the proposal to spend the money from the Hamilton Fund back to the council's Public Works Finance Committee. During the city council meeting, council members Jim Boland and Walter Steed said they believed the resolution should include Hamilton Fund interest. Also at last night's city council meeting, Moscow Pathways Commission Chair Jonathan Graydon gave an update on prospective future commission activities.
Following on the hopeful success of the Steiner Avenue, White Avenue underpass, we would like to look at the potential for an underpass at Highway 95, just south of Highway 8, because right now the path uses the Sweet Avenue crosswalk, and it's pretty treacherous, especially you get big trucks or cars coming down that hill and you don't know if they're going to stop. Doing a underpass here would provide crosstown connectivity very easily. We're in the very initial evaluation stages as a class project with the U of I, which, as some of you who've been around for a long time remember, that's how the Steiner Avenue underpass started. We are also revamping the farmers market display materials. This is the old big display board, which one of our members put together very nicely, but it's bulky and it's hard to update. We are looking into some vinyl, retractable vinyl banners that will be cost-effective, easy to update, and hang. They're weatherproof and everything. Looking at around $70 to start, and then refreshes of those will be $20 or less. I'm finalizing the designs of those. We have some naming things that we're waiting on. Other than that, we are looking at a fall community party at Berman Creekside Park, and our member Becky Chastain is looking into that, kind of a little community get-together at Berman, talk about the pathways, get some community support, kind of just outreach, some live music, maybe some food and stuff like that. We're also looking at the path extension near Patty's Kitchen, going diagonal from Deacon to the parking lot apartments there. There is some land issues, some city, it's part city, part private, so we'd have to look into how to do that. But it's a de facto pathway for a lot of students already, so if we can make that official, that would further our goals of community transportation.
That was Moscow Pathways Commission Chair Jonathan Graydon speaking at last night's City Council meeting. At yesterday's meeting between Latah County Commissioners and Moscow Community Development Director and Moscow Urban Renewal Agency Executive Director Bill Belknap, commissioners told Belknap they are looking forward to the possible formation of a second urban renewal district on Moscow's south side. Belknap said the new urban renewal district will be as much as 650 acres on land currently both inside and outside Moscow city limits. Belknap identified two ways to create an urban renewal district in such a situation. He said county properties may be annexed to the city, or the Moscow Urban Renewal Agency can partner with the county through a transfer of powers ordinance, which would allow urban renewal district boundaries to extend into the county. According to the Daily News, Belknap said forming a new district would allow the agency to collect taxes for public infrastructure to help with business development and recruitment. Belknap said he has fielded 3 inquiries from industrial manufacturers looking for places to open business. He said currently the city does not have adequate land for the types of businesses the manufacturers are looking to open. Latah County Commissioner Dave McGraw said, "This looks like something Moscow needed for a long time. I'm excited about something like this." Currently, the 163-acre Legacy Crossing Urban Renewal District is Moscow's only urban renewal district. The core of that district is between the University of Idaho and downtown Moscow. 5 men are suing the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church in U.S. District Court in Boise, saying the 2 organizations presented their activities as safe, but they ended up being sexually abused as boys while taking part in Mormon Church-sponsored Boy Scout troops. The men contend officials with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Boy Scouts of America knew there were child molesters in the Boy Scouts but did not let parents or children know of the risks. The defendants wrote in a lawsuit the Boy Scouts, quote, engaged in a decades-long public relations campaign to represent to the government, the public, and the scouting community, including plaintiffs and their families, that scouting was a safe and morally upright program that was physically, emotionally, and spiritually beneficial for boys. Defendants additionally represented that the adult scout leaders who were their agents were appropriate and trustworthy mentors and leaders for young boys. The court documents also said church leaders did the same. Quote, for example, in 1978, the president of the LDS Church said that the Boy Scouts of America is not an optional program. Scouting is no longer on trial. It is an economically, socially, and spiritually sound program. Mormon Church spokesperson Eric Hawkins said in a statement, "We have only recently learned about this legal action and will take time to understand it fully to respond as appropriate." The Boy Scouts of America released a statement saying nothing is more important than the safety of our youth members. The Boy Scouts of America is outraged. There have been times when scouts were abused, and we sincerely apologize to victims and their families. According to a Latah County Sheriff's Department report, Sunday, a Lewiston woman was hospitalized with life-threatening injuries after she jumped from a moving vehicle at the intersection of State Highway 6 and U.S. Highway 95 in Potlatch. According to the report, crews took 43-year-old Robbie Wilson to Gritman Regional Medical Center first, then a medevac helicopter crew flew her to Kootenai Medical Center in Coeur d'Alene. The sheriff's office said Wilson jumped from the car, which was moving at 50 miles per hour. Deputies said Wilson had a dispute with the driver, Dino Alessio. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Washington State University Large Carnivore Conservation Lab Director Robert Wildgus has filed a complaint against the school, alleging significant damage to his academic career through reprisals, condemning remarks, and suppression due to claims he made overly critical comments against a Stevens County cattle rancher and the state's decision to remove a wolf pack. Wildgus criticized Stevens County cattle rancher Len McIrvin in a media interview last August. McIrvin's cattle losses led the state wildlife department to kill all of the members of the Profanity Peak wolf pack. Wildgus also told the Washington Wolf Advisory Council McIrvin intentionally placed his cattle on top of the wolf den. In March 2016, Wildgus told the Seattle Times, "This livestock operator elected to put his livestock directly on top of their den site. We have pictures of cows swamping it." Washington State University followed up quickly with a press release claiming Wilgus's statements were inappropriate. The university defended McIrvin, saying he did not place his cattle at or near the den. Wilgus's complaint says WSU President Kirk Schulz, Agriculture Department Dean Ron Middlehammer, and Associate Agriculture Dean Jim Moyer violated his academic rights through funding restrictions and publication restrictions. Wilgus said the deans ordered him to submit all of his writings to their offices prior to publication and demanded he not speak about wolves to the public or media. Wilgus said Middlehammer and other administrators have started a malicious investigation into his use of state resources and lobbying. He also said the school claimed he made illegal public statements. Former American Association of University Professors President Kerry Nelson defended Wilgus in a speech at WSU Monday. Nelson changed the name of his speech from "An AAUP Chapter Can Transform Your Campus" to "What the Wolves Can Teach Us About Academic Freedom." Nelson said it is a responsible professor who disseminates research information, not just a right. Nelson said the school's handling of the case has produced a chilling effect and is preventing other educators from sharing knowledge and research results if they are controversial. Nelson said the university's handling of the matter to date is unacceptable. You don't have to operate within administrative consensus or departmental consensus. Not every administrator understands that. During Saturday's climate march and rally at Moscow's East City Park, a woman who gave her name as Diane spoke about voter registration efforts among Idahoans who are concerned about the environment. So you're helping with the voter registration right now?
Yes, we're also contacting our Washington and Idaho legislators and our local Idaho representatives down in Boise about issues of climate change and science.
And democracy hasn't been working too well for the environment lately, huh?
It's been a really tough fight, but we're up to it. We know that alternative energy and clean jobs are fueling the economy right now. The growth in clean energy and solar is 20% a year since 2014. It tops any jobs in coal and gas by a factor of 3-1. Rural states right now are booming with the use of wind fuel. Companies are coming in, leasing land from rural landowners, and they're seeing an economic boom that they haven't seen in the past decade. And that has happened in the last 5 years with clean energy and wind.
Are you not only registering people to vote, but actually getting people to write Congress critters and so forth?
We definitely are. We have postcards already addressed. We have sample things to write about, facts about energy and jobs. And it is right now a time to actually educate our representatives. They have bought the bottom line on getting jobs back to coal, and we know the future is in alternative energy.
Okay. And people are listening to this after the climate march, where would people hit you up?
They can contact me at Diane, at letter B as in boy, 208 at gmail.com. Kathy Dawes and I send out an action alert every week with key issues for our local Boise representatives and our congressmen in Washington, D.C. And Labrador, and Kathy was instrumental in this, is having a town hall in Lewiston on May 5th. And we encourage everyone to come. Contact us for more details, but it's being posted and handed out today, so everyone can show up.
I understand it's Friday at 11 a.m. at LCSC.
Yes, May 5th, Friday at, I think it got moved to 10 o'clock at LCSC.
Yeah, and there was a little, you got to go.
No.
So, okay, there's a little message for the state representatives, too, having to do with the science standards that were repealed that have been in effect for school systems here in Idaho. Are you interested in that issue, and what can you say about that?
That's an important issue for Idaho. The Department of Education is going around the state gathering testimony. They have over 500 comments from citizens asking for those five areas in climate to be put back into the science standards, and we are writing our local representatives today. Those five standards that were deleted and taken out are on the human influence on climate change and the human influence in biodiversity. We have a chance when the legislator comes back in session, this will be brought to them to vote, and we are ready with signed postcards and citizen activists to let our voices be heard.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ed. I guess we missed the meeting from the Department of Education in Lewiston on that, but you can still write. There's a certain time period, right?
The time period closed last Friday, but we were there Wednesday when our representatives had a forum with the League of Women and Voters, and
yes,
we had most of the audience went on that survey and gave their inputs. So thank you to everyone who did write, and it's not too late.
That was voter registration worker Diane at Saturday's climate march and rally in Moscow's East City Park. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly cloudy tonight and tomorrow, low 42, high 68. Mostly clear Wednesday night and Thursday, low 49, high 79 Thursday. 20% chance of showers after midnight Thursday night, partly cloudy, low 56. And a 70% chance of showers on Friday, isolated showers, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm in the afternoon, partly sunny, high 71, 90% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm before midnight Friday night, low 43, and then a chance of showers after midnight, 40% chance of showers Saturday, mainly before noon, cloudy, high 54, 20% chance of showers Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low 40, and a 30% chance of showers Sunday, mainly before noon, cloudy, high 57. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, 53 degrees. Coming up next, our weekly documentary from the National Radio Project, Making Contact, a poetic address to the nation is the topic this week. And at a little bit later, we will have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, around 6:40. And then music begins with a Tuesday night grab bag at 7:30 p.m. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. And remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are archived on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast for download or streaming. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
KRFP is supported by
Panhandle Artisan Bakery, baking naturally leavened bread using local ingredients. Panhandle Artisan Bakery is located at 630 North Almond Street, Suite 110, and panhandlebread.com.
KRFP is also supported by the Environmental Defense Institute, actively engaged with issues involving the Idaho National Laboratory, a Department of Energy nuclear site. EDI advocates for environmentally sound nuclear policy decisions.